Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the Minute Waltz fades away, once more it's my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners in this country and around the world, but also to welcome to the show four exciting, talented, and clever players of this game. And they are seated on my right, Paul Merton and Shappy Kosandi. And seated on my left, Giles Brandreth. And seated beside him, we welcome someone who's never played the game before. He's very nervous, but I'm sure he's going to do well. Rick Wakeman, will you please welcome all four of them? Thank you. And as usual, I am going to ask them to speak on a subject which I will give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. Beside me sits Sarah Sharp. She's going to help me keep the score. She'll blow the whistle when the 60 seconds have elapsed. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the Radio Theatre in London, and we're going to begin the show with Paul Merton. Who better? Paul. Oh, here's an interesting subject. Dear listener, tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
Radio is a wonderful medium, isn't it, dear listener? As I speak to you via this microphone and coming out of your loudspeaker, one could imagine that I was just speaking for you, dear listener. Whether you be having a bath or driving a truck across the desert somewhere.
Rick Challenge.
Hesitation?
There was a hesitation. Yeah, you've got a point for a correct challenge. You take over the subject, and there are 44 seconds available. Dear listener, starting now.
Dear listener are the words I used to use when I had my very first radio show in America. The reason I used the words dear listener was because I felt after a short period of time that I only had one. A man who lived somewhere in Croydon who couldn't hear anyway because I was in the United States of that country that I mentioned before that I dare mention again because somebody...
It was a repetition of the word mention.
Yeah.
No, I mustn't mention, so I won't mention.
Yeah, we couldn't let that one go. So, Paul, correct challenge. There are 19 seconds still available, and you've got a point, of course, for a correct challenge. You take over the subject. Dear listener, starting now.
The British Broadcasting Corporation was founded in 1922, and from that day onwards, the... I say British again.
I know. Giles.
Very hard.
Hesitation.
There was a hesitation, yes. You have 11 seconds, and you have the subject. Dear listener, starting now.
Dear listener, you might like to know that for Christmas I received a wonderful book entitled My Life in Comedy by Nicholas Parsons. It is a born classic, full of limpid prose and wonderful stories.
Sir, I was hoping you weren't going to blow quite so soon and let him go on a bit. I was enjoying what he was saying. Thank you for the compliment, Giles. Anyway, you were speaking as the whistle went, and that means you get an extra point, and you're in the lead at the end of the round. Giles, we'd like you to begin the next round. Oh, gosh, yes, very topical. How bankers could restore their reputation. Have you any concrete ideas on that subject? If so, give them to us. 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
How bankers could restore their reputation? I think of two possible scenarios. One is mass suicide. This could be easily effected by the bankers taking an aeroplane, Ryanair, to Frankfurt, getting out, in fact, in Zurich, and going to the clinic, which specializes in terminating the lives of people who really are no longer wanted on the planet. These are terrible, terrible.
Yeah, if you're going to make a point, this is what happens.
Repetition of terror.
Yeah, it's when the passion gets there, you repeat.
I got very quick on this buzzer. I just wanted to point that out.
Well, try it, darling. Let's see if it's working all right.
Oh,
yes, it's a lovely green one.
I hesitate when I press the buzzer. That's the problem.
Well, let's give you a bonus point because you did manage to press it the right way. Paul, you had a correct challenge. We know what it was. Repetition of terrible, and there are 31 seconds. Tell us something about how bankers could restore their reputation starting now.
Bankers could restore their reputation by buying copies of Nicholas Parsons' autobiography called My Life as a Straight Man in Various Comedy Shows Over the Years, where an esteemed chairman doesn't waste an opportunity to tell us what a wonderful career he's had, even though most of it has passed many of us by. It is there in black and white.
Oh, Giles, you've challenged.
Deviation in every possible sense.
every possible sense.
Particularly the last bit about the glories of Nicholas's career passing us by. We've relished every moment.
Giles, you've got the correct challenge. I had to give you a bonus point as well, actually. But... and you still have 11 seconds. How bankers...
Hang on a second.
Yeah.
Have you just decided that you have had a wonderful career... and that's why you've gone against
me? No. Just because Giles said I had, so I took it Giles' point rather than yours.
But I just wonder whether your famous impartiality, for which you've been well known for several minutes now, whether you're the right person to judge whether your book is fantastic or not, you see.
I'm not talking about my book.
Oh, you're not?
I'm talking about my career.
Oh, your career?
Yes.
You've had a career as well as write a book? I withdraw my challenge.
Anyway, you've got the title wrong.
Say what?
The title is called...
Oh, here we go.
Yeah. I did actually dedicate a copy to you.
Mm.
And you, eBay. You actually gave a...
And apparently you, I owe them money. I don't know how that works out.
And you also very kindly gave an endorsement, which is on the front.
Did they say anything when I'm drunk?
I do think you should know that I did see Giles take the book into Oxfam on the way here.
Mm.
I'm not sure how much you got for it.
I think... I think you're picking up the vibes that if you insult the chairman, you're going to do well.
Oh, no, I'm just trying
well,
to be honest.
Certainly praising the chairman seems to pay dividends,
because
doesn't it?
I went into the shop and I paid £100 for it.
That's why I took it in the first place, yeah.
I don't believe you.
I went into Foyles, the bookshop, and bought it, and the man behind the counter said, started weeping. He says, this makes every other book redundant. Is that worth a bonus point?
Yes, all right. Give them all a bonus point. Giles, you've got a correct challenge. You get a point for that. And you have How Bankers Could Restore Their Reputation. 11 seconds starting now.
What bankers should do, in fact, is take up football, because we don't object to Wayne Rooney earning hundreds of thousands of pounds a week, but apparently when bankers do so, we are furious.
So Giles, once again, was speaking as the whistle went, and when that happens, he gets an extra point. So he's increased his lead at the end of that round, and Rick Wakeman, we'd like you to begin the next round. Oh, on home ground here, a rock and roll lifestyle. Can you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
Looking back at old press cuttings from the 60s and 70s, I realised that I truly did have an extreme rock and roll lifestyle. The tragedy is, I can't remember it. So I have to look at the things that were written in the Daily Express, the Mail, the Mirror, not...
I don't think it counts. Sorry. Mm. It's Shappy, Corsandi here. Is it... He said the a lot, but I feel bad now, because that's the name of the newspapers. He can't not say the.
Well, darling, we don't bother to challenge on the...
I nitpicked at someone who's new to the game. I'm a monster. Yeah, and I have to live with myself.
No, you didn't. It wasn't an incorrect challenge, but it was a challenge that we don't usually indulge in.
Yes, I understand that.
If they say the or the two or three times, but if we went on saying the all the way through... So, give her a one for another point for a good attempt. And... And you have a point if you're interrupted.
Nicholas, I love you and your book.
And right. 40 seconds available. A rock and roll lifestyle still with you, Rick, starting now.
I read in one magazine that I used to have wild orgy parties at my house. Again, I can't recall any of them, except that we used to play a lot of darts and snooker on my snooker table.
Sounds, yes.
Mm. Repetition of snooker.
Yes, where else could you play your snooker except from the snooker stick? Mm. Oh, I suppose you could if you're drunk. Do it anywhere. Right, Giles, you've got 26 seconds and you tell us something about your... Well, not your, but a rock and roll... a rock and roll lifestyle. Starting now.
Oh, Nicholas, how little you know. My rock and roll lifestyle is incredible. All right, it is only a white van, and I have just one driver, but I did meet a Latvian girl who was ready to come on board for a few minutes to give me a bit of a rub down. So I felt that was a start. And then I have been experimenting with drugs.
Paul Challenge.
Well, so far, it's not a rock and roll lifestyle, is it? Some Latvian woman in the back of a van.
No.
Told me that's how he began, and I'm just sort of trying to work my way up, if you'll pardon the expression.
No,
You can't work your way up a Latvian girl in a van. Because you haven't got the headroom. So.
I agree with you.
Do you?
Yes, deviation. I mean, that's hardly rock and roll, that.
No.
If it is, I'm rather sorry for you, Giles. I mean...
It's my pathetic rock and roll lifestyle, but it is my rock and roll lifestyle.
Well, it's not what people consider a rock and roll lifestyle, just to have a Latvian girl in the back of a...
It's got to be more than that. That's not why Bruce Springsteen picked up the guitar, is it? Because he wanted to have an affair with a Latvian woman in the back of a white van.
Look, at my age, I'm very grateful.
If you can get into the van, you must be grateful. Never mind what happens after that.
Paul, I agree with you. You have a correct challenge. 7 seconds are still available. You tell us something about a rock and roll lifestyle starting now.
Well, it was back in the cavern in 1961 and I was playing with the rest of the boys and suddenly...
Shabby challenge.
I'm not sure what the challenge is, but that's not your real voice. I thought that might be deviation from yourself.
Yeah.
It is deviation from his normal voice.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
But there's nothing in the rules which says you can't use a different voice if you're talking on the subject, you see.
Fair enough.
Paul gets a point from being interrupted. A rock and roll lifestyle. 4 seconds, Paul, starting out.
I remember I was in one of the very first supergroups, Emerson, Lake, Palmer and Merton.
So Paul Merton was then speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point for doing so. He is now equal with Giles Brandreth in the lead, and they're 3 points ahead of Rick Wakeman and Shappy Cossandia, who are equal in second place. Shappy, we'd like you to start the next round, and the subject is My Best Impression. Can you tell us something about My Best Impression? 60 seconds, starting now.
My best impression was probably of Margaret Thatcher when I was 7 years old. I used to do her at parents' dinner parties where they'd drag me out of bed and say, for God's sake, come and enter the guests. Come and entertain the guests.
Just.
A little hesitation followed by repetition of the phrase enter the guests.
Also,
and
I
the guests.
Deviated from my moral code.
No, I think you were so entertained by what you said, you dried yourself up. I mean,
did I?
Yes.
I think it's more like I've got asthma and I haven't got my
inhaler. Do your Margaret Thatcher for us for a moment. Come on.
No, the thing is about my Margaret Thatcher impersonation, it was really funny when I was seven. At 37, not quite so. Mm. Exactly, you see? That just died. Right.
Correct challenge. My best impression. 43 seconds, starting now.
My best impression, let me demonstrate, and you may be the judges of this. Oh, now I'm attempting to do... No, oh, no, oh, no. And now I'm attempting to do somebody quite different. But here...
Sorry. The reason the audience laughed then, listeners, was I was so overcome with these foul impersonations that I spilt my water on the table. And there's water... Shepa, you challenged her before I spilled
Yes,
my
I
water.
Felt that Giles was attempting twice.
Correct. Repetition of attempting.
Yes.
Yes, because it said you gave two impressions. Mm. It wasn't your best impression. You never established which one was.
No.
So...
Well, you be giving us a clue as to who those people were?
No. If I get back in the game, possibly.
Okay. I'm intrigued.
Yeah.
Chappie, you had a correct challenge. You had the subject, my best impression, and you have 33 seconds starting now.
My other best impression is of a Yorkshire Terrier, and that goes like this. I would do more, but I'm not sure if barking would count as repetition. I've always been quite good at impersonating people that...
Rick, you challenge.
Thank you. I was just, for the listeners at home, I was doing the face of a sad Yorkshire Terrier.
And Rick, you came in first.
I feel like a Rottweiler now. Sorry.
The audience you haven't endeared yourself to the audience with that challenge, no?
No, I'm
it
sorry.
Wanted to go. But it doesn't matter. What is your challenge?
There was a sort of hesitation.
There was a hesitation.
Yes, yes. There was, yes.
So, Rick, you have my best impression, and you have 21 seconds starting now.
My best impression is of two monkeys in the bath when one of them goes, ooh, and the...
saying is if I didn't bark more than once...
No, darling, you don't need to say any more. There was a repetition of ooh.
it's one word, Nick. Ooh.
No, yes, no.
It's
one word. You said ooh, ooh.
it's not Rick's fault if that's what the monkey said.
No, but if the monkey repeated itself, it's repetition, because he would repeat
the monkey.
Said.
He he's nearly a standby. He's merely an observer telling us what happened.
No, I mean, I've got to be fairly shabby. She had a correct challenge, and Rick interrupted her, and the audience went, ooh! It's a... Yeah. Like monkeys. Yeah. They want Shappy to have it back again. And it's justice now. Fair, it's enough. Fair enough.
My right. Heart's in my mouth.
Yes.
So because you are on song tonight, can I say? It's like the wisdom of Solomon falling from your eyes. I may be chipping in again in a moment, by the way.
Not at all. I enjoyed that. Right, 13 seconds available, Shappy, on my best impression starting now.
When I did Margaret, I used to...
Oh, no.
Oh.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah, I repeated
repetition
Margaret.
Of Margaret.
Yes, you used to mention Margaret before.
See, I thought about that as well. You know, I was quiet in the first, but I thought, no, if I don't say Margaret Thatcher, but Margaret instead, that would be really clever, but it's two separate words, clever, aren't they?
No. Slightly over-familiar, I felt, you know.
I knew you'd think that. I knew the minute I mentioned Margaret Thatcher, you'd start getting, what's she going to say?
She was just trying to get out of repeating something in just a minute and failed. So, Paul, correct challenge.
You have to use
10
that
seconds.
Word.
My best impression starting now.
In the film Kind Hearts and Coronets, Alec Culligan plays the part of a vicar and he says, the view from my west window has all the exuberance of Chaucer with none of the concomitant crudities of the period.
Rick challenge.
I couldn't understand a word he said. So he could well have repeated hundreds of words. I mean, you just sit going like...
He's doing my act.
Yeah, it's an interesting one to judge on because it was a little incoherent, but it was a good impression. It was the best impression. And I don't think he actually repeated any words. So, Rick, I think, to be fair, I give you a bonus point because we enjoyed the interruption. But, Paul, it wasn't a correct challenge. So, and you've got
that's
only
an impression
half...
rather good that way. I like that.
Pure Frankie Howard, wasn't it? Ooh, Mrs. Right. Half a second, Paul, for you on my best impression starting now.
I've come all the way from Great Portman Street.
So, Paul Merton speaking again as the whistle went again. The extra point has increased his lead a little at the end of the round and he begins the next round. Paul, the subject, an old-fashioned phrase that's not so often used nowadays, but the price of milk. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
It's one of those things that they ask celebrities, do you know what the price of milk is? Now, I don't often go out and buy a pint of milk individually on its own. It is part of a shopping list, but I would hazard the guess the price of milk is possibly round about 45p a pint. If you buy it by the litre, of course, the price comes down.
Rick, challenge.
No, forget it, because you can use the word price, can't you? Because it's in the
yes, it's
in the title.
On the card.
Yes.
You can repeat the words on the card individually or in the phrase. Yeah. Bad luck.
I hang my head in shame.
No, not at all, no. But what happens is Paul gets another point, because he was interrupted. And there are 42 seconds for the price of milk, Paul, starting now.
Look into a cow's eyes when it's being milked. See the pain, the heartbreak, nostalgic for the hills of Devon. And then say to me that the pint of milk you have is worth... Oh, I said pint.
Just, yes.
2 pints.
Two pints,
yes. Actually, if you look into a cow's eyes and it's being milked, it's got great joy and satisfaction.
Done a lot of that, have you?
Not much, but I've been on farms enough to see they are relieved, they're happy.
Are they?
Getting rid of the weight and...
Are you sure they're not just thrilled to see you?
Nicholas's book is a favourite down on the farm.
Giles!
There might be bovine Gileses adore you from afar.
Now, come on, let's get on with the show. 30 seconds, Sir Giles. You had a correct challenge. The price of milk, starting now.
The price of milk, who cares? It is a killer. Rich in cholesterol, fat, revolting to look at, and indeed consider whence it has come. Sloshing about initially in a bucket. The idea is revolting. And to consume this...
Shabby challenge.
I think you said revolting twice.
In another... game, I said.
In another conversation.
Yeah, it's complete deviation, isn't it? I mean, it's just the staff of life in many ways. I mean, babies...
You may disagree. You may be a milkaholic. I am not. No, I'm against milk.
I don't like milk, but I will defend the fact that everybody drinks milk.
Not everybody does drink milk. Some of us don't because of the price of milk. I was just
then
getting to that
babies
point.
Babies are fed on milk alone when they're very small.
It's a rubbish book, ladies and gentlemen. A rubbish book.
If you don't like milk, Nicholas, why do you look in cow's eyes?
Because I'm on the farm and I'm looking at them. I'm interested in everything. And there's a cow being milked and he's so placid and thinking, oh, that's so nice.
Sorry,
so
he, really
Right, where were we?
We were talking about you looking into a cow's eyes with love.
No. Who'd you challenge?
It was an invalid challenge, and I was given the subject again.
No. You were challenged, and I disagreed with what you said. Who challenged?
Was
it? It was me.
I agree with you. Deviation. Right, Don, you've got the subject, don't worry. Right. The price...
Bread and milk is all you're on now, Nicholas. Face it.
When I was at boarding school, if you were ill, you were put in the sanatorium and just fed on bread and milk. She was an absolute harridan, the matron. I was about to use another word, but it
you
was...
You nearly said cow, didn't you?
I know. Yeah. She was worse than that, right. She was a bitch. There
You'll
we are.
You'll never see her again.
So, Shappy, we give you that one correct challenge. The price of milk, 12 seconds, starting now.
The price of milk is not to be confused with the price of fish, which is what people say when they want to say that's not got anything to do.
Giles' challenge.
Repetition of say.
Yes, you had say twice, my darling.
I see.
So you've got it back, Giles. You needn't look so piqued about it. The fact that you lost it before, but you don't usually lose it. 6 seconds are available. The price of milk, Giles, starting now.
Politicians are frequently asked what is the price of milk in the hope of catching them out as being ignoramus and not familiar.
Right. So Giles Brandethill's then speaking to the whistle when gained that all-important extra point. He's now back equal in the lead with Paul Merton, and Shappy Cassandy and Rick Wakeman are still equal in second place, following them a few points behind. Rick Wakeman, would you begin the next round? Through my telescope. Will you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
On my 16th birthday, my parents bought me a telescope, which I took to my bedroom and pointed out the window at the house opposite, where I knew a very pretty young lady would be there in the evening getting ready for bed. I looked through and, to my horror, discovered she wore the same underwear as me. This came as such a shock because I thought I was the only person with a red something.
So, Giles, you were first to chance.
Well, there was hesitation at the end of what was, frankly, 30 seconds of pure deviation. The man is a pervert. His parents give him this wonderful instrument, and what does he do? Oh,
He sticks it out the window.
Yeah, exactly. This is the rock and roll lifestyle, is it? Oh, dearie me. Give me the back end of a cow anytime.
Charles, 25 seconds on, through my telescope, starting now.
As the saying goes, people who live in glass houses should undress in the basement in order to involve the prying toms across the road from...
I dropped off there. What was that word in the middle of all there? There was a sort of like a go. I mean, so much of it is so similar that after a while you just listen to it going out on the radio. But I mean,
it was the prying toms. He said
prying toms.
Yes.
Oh, I didn't hear that. You're nearer than I am.
I know.
Isn't it peeping toms?
Yes, but I didn't. I'm coming on to peeping. Didn't want to repeat it. You see.
Yes.
I understand. Yeah.
Another point to you, Giles. Through my telescope, and 16 seconds starting now.
Through my telescope, I love to look up at the Milky Way to see that glorious chocolate in the stars. There it is, alongside my Mars. Pluto, a dog, is up there. And then the belt, Orion, like on a dolphin's back, is filling the heavens with joy.
Paul Challenge.
Well, it's about the belt. He referred to the belt. But then he did say Orion's belt. So
that's
I was,
right, yes.
But I think
right.
I'm sorry.
Incorrect
so,
challenge. Yeah. Right, through my telescope, still with you, Giles. And only 1 second to go. Starting now.
Patrick Moore is one of the...
So, Giles Brandes was then speaker of the whistle went, gained that extra point. So, as we move in the last round, Giles Brandes is in the lead, and he's 3 or 4 ahead of Rick Wakeman, who's 1 ahead of Paul Merton, and he's 4 or 5 ahead of Shappy Cassandy. And, Paul, we're back with you to begin. The subject is page 3. Tell us something about page 3. That didn't go down very well, did it? They're obviously much more cultural lot. Mm. 60 seconds, starting now.
Quite often, page 3 in a book is where you put the author's name, and if you're looking to buy some books this year, I can recommend none more than Nicholas Parsons' Guide to the British Countryside. His chapter on cows is absolutely astonishing. Bovine love, it's called, amongst the philosophers. And what he does is he approaches the udders on this particular animal. From behind, he whispers in their ear and says, would you like to be milked? Who buzzed?
Rick, why are you challenged?
Physically impossible. If you approach from behind, whisper in the ear.
Yeah. You don't stop. You approach from behind, you whisper in the ear.
Oh, you carry on round.
You keep going.
I beg your pardon.
It's a new thing I've invented called walking. You just keep going.
I'm sorry, I haven't...
Everybody's doing it.
I haven't read the book, you see. No, I do apologise.
You should see the line drawings.
No, it's quite logical what he's saying.
Yeah.
So it's an incorrect challenge.
Yeah, exactly.
29 seconds on page 3, starting now.
As Oscar Wilde nearly said, the love that dare not moo its name. Heifers are the most beautiful of creatures. When you see their four legs walking towards you, a little glint in their eye, you think to yourselves, I'm in with a chance tonight. And if you're wearing a mask, which is, looks like the chairman of this marvellous...
Giles, challenge.
We've come so far from page 3. So far, I know we've been around the car, we've been up the udders. We've virtually been to Orion and back, but page 3 we lost a long time ago.
To be honest, I'd completely forgotten that was the subject. I wrote it down as well.
And to be honest, Paul, we didn't mind. No. Right. So we have got a long way from page 3, so, Giles, I have to give it to you. I would like Paul to carry it on, because we all know it. But... to be fair, within the rules of just a minute, you have a correct challenge. You have 11 seconds. Page 3, starting now.
This subject may have been chosen because recently marked the 40th anniversary of the Page 3 girl in one of our more popular and lurid newspapers. Photographs in the early days taken by a friend of mine called Beverly Goodway.
Well, what a somber way to bring the show to an end, but... Chappie did very well, because she does contribute greatly, and she's very attractive as well. And but she did finish in fourth place, very strong. She was in third place, because equal in second place are Rick Wakeman and Paul Merton, but out in the lead, just ahead of them, was Giles Brandreth. So we say, Giles, this week, you are our winner. So we do hope you've enjoyed this edition of Just a Minute. It only remains to say to thank you, these four fine and exciting and pleasurable players of the game, Paul Merton, Chappie Kosandi, Rick Wakeman and Giles Brandreth. I thank Sarah Sharp, who's helped me with the score, blown her whistle so delicately. We're indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this amazing game. We're grateful to our producer, Talusha Gilani, and we are grateful to this lovely audience here in the Radio Theatre in Broadcasting House for cheering us on our way. From them, from me, Nicholas Parsons, tune in the next time we play Just a Minute. Just a Minute! Thank you.